book of Jude, verse number 8. The book of Jude, verse 8. Likewise, also these filthy dreamers defile the flesh, despise dominion, and speak evil of dignities. Yet Michael the archangel, when contending with the devil, he disputed about the body of Moses, durst not bring against him a railing accusation, but said, "The Lord rebuke thee." But these speak evil of those things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them! For they have gone in the way of Cain, and have ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit, twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the sea, foaming out of their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. I want to read that part again. I underscored that in my Bible. To whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. And Enoch also, the seventh from Adam, prophesied of these, saying, "Behold, the Lord cometh with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all, and to convince all that are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds which they have ungodly committed, and of all their hard speeches which ungodly sinners have spoken against him. These are murmurers, complainers, walking after their own lust, and their mouth speaketh great swelling words, having men's persons in admiration because of advantage. But beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be they who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit." I believe that we live in days of chaos, don't you? I believe that we live in days of apostasy, days of rebellion. I read in 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 1, that Timothy said, "This know also," or Paul said to Timothy, "This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come." In the book of 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 3, Peter said, knowing this first, that in the last days there will come scoffers after their own lust, and walking after their own lust, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were." But that scripture goes on as you read 2 Peter chapter number 3. It mentions about the judgment of God. It mentions about the judgment in the days of Noah. It mentions in verse 10 of 2 Peter chapter 3 about the day of the Lord. Now in the scripture you see the day of Christ. The day of Christ will be the rapture of the church. Then you see the day of the Lord. The day of the Lord will be the great tribulation and the millennium. We read over in Jeremiah chapter number 30, verse number 7, that it's called Jacob's time of trouble. But then there'll come in 2 Peter chapter number 3, verse number 12, it mentions the day of our God, which is in representation of the purging of this earth with fire. And over in Revelation chapter number 21, verse number 1, John the Revelator spoke and said, "I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth were passed away, and there was no more sea." So we find here in 2 Peter chapter 3 that there in the last days there will be scoffers walking after their own lust and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since our fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were." But that scripture goes on to comfort you and I, to tell us the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 24, verse number 37, it says, "But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be." I begin to read this afternoon over in the book of Genesis. In the book of Genesis, chapter 6, in those wicked days, those days of Noah, that the Bible said the Lord looked upon the earth, and it grieved him in his heart that he'd made man. And it even repented him that he'd made man. That does not mean that God made a mistake, but it means God had had a change of mind in that he said, I will destroy man from off the face of the earth. And when he could have destroyed all of mankind, the Bible says in Genesis 6:9, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. And when God could have destroyed it all, he spared man. He spared a few. He spared 8 souls in the saving of the ark. And you know about that story. And he showed that grace to Noah and his family. Did he share it to Noah because of the man that Noah was? No, he shared it because of who God is. He is a God of grace. And tonight he sits on a throne of grace. But there are coming those days of judgment. I believe that the heaviness on a lot of Christians' heart this day and time is the day and hour in which we live. The wickedness that we see, we've come out of a week where a lot of things have happened in the state of North Carolina. Now, I'm not bringing politics into the pulpit, but I'm just telling you what God told me. I was very pleased how the Church of the Living God responded this past week, aren't you? But I will say this, it does trouble me of the staggering numbers of people that have not read the Word of God and the percentages of the people that voted against that marriage amendment. You say, preacher, why does that bother you so bad? Well, in the book of Genesis, chapter 2, the Bible tells us that God looked upon Adam and he didn't want him to be alone. For he said, I'll make a helpmate unto him. And he caused a deep sleep to come on Adam. And from his side he took a rib and he made woman. And he said, now this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she shall be called woman. And it goes on to say, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. As you go over into the book of Ephesians chapter 5, that's one of the mysteries that the Apostle Paul revealed, that was revealed to him by God Almighty in the mystery of the church, the mystery of the bride of Christ. And he said in that same scripture, he says, therefore in Ephesians 5, around verse 30, he said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave unto his wife, and they too shall be one flesh. He said, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church, because this bride of Christ, this church came from the side of the Lamb of God, just as the deep sleep that came upon Adam, and from Adam's side was taken a rib. Even so, not a bone in the body of the Lamb was broken, but when they knew that he was dead, they took a spear and they pierced his side, and forthwith came blood and water. But more than that came from the side of Christ. A bride came from him. And that's what I look at tonight. I sit in a New Testament church. I stand before you and I view a part of the bride of Christ that is going to be with the Lord one day after a while. We live in a world today that wants to perverse the Bible. They want to take the words of Christ and make it into their own words and make it say what they want it to say. And it's troubling to our hearts. I believe that we live in these wicked days. But I'll say this, just as it was in the days of Noah, God is still God in 2012. He is still a God of grace. He is still a God of mercy. He is still a God of love. That is who He is. Because the Bible tells us in 1 John that God is love. I'm glad tonight, even in this wicked dispensation, that God is still saving souls. He is still pulling. Not long ago, I got to be in Dobson, North Carolina, and I was in revival there, and I came out Sunday night of the service, and I smelled a very awful smell, and I began to ask around, and it was told to me that we were close to some swine farms, and they had told us that they were stirring the mire. I got in the van, I looked at my wife, I said, honey, that excites me. She said, what do you mean? I said, that's what the Lord pulled me out of. That stink that you smell. David said, I was in a horrible pit. I was in the miry clay, and he pulled me out, and he washed me off, and he set me on a rock, and he established my goings, and he put praise in my mouth, even praise unto our God. It's a troubling time in which we live, isn't it? But God is still God. The Lord is still saving. But we are in days of apostasy. And when I speak of that word, I speak of apostates. that are alive and well today, those that have been reached the truth, those that have been presented with the truth, and they have rejected the truth, and now they begin to ridicule the truth. They begin to mock at it. They begin to scoff at it. But be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. If he sows to the flesh, he shall of the flesh reap corruption. But if he sows to the Spirit, he shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. I'm glad tonight that this world does not dictate who God is. For He is the same yesterday and today and forever. Many times I'm concerned and worried about the hour, and I think, oh God, if this world lasts 30 more years and the church still hasn't been raptured yet, and I've already went by the grave and my baby boys are still here, oh God, what this world be like. And God assured me to let me know that if the church hadn't been raptured, He'll still have a man. And that man will have the Word of God in his mouth. And he'll have the gospel in his hand and in his life. And he'll preach to my children and tell them what thus saith the Word of God. This scripture in the book of Jude is very troubling, because it mentions these days of apostasy, these days that you and I live in right now. But it shows us the promises of God in that judgment is sure. Judgment is coming. Before I look at these people mentioned in the book of Jude, I want to speak for just a minute on the truth of the Holy Spirit and the salvation of our Lord. I'm glad that the Holy Spirit is still moving. It is still brooding over lives. You remember, even in creation, the Bible said when everything was null and void, that the Spirit of the Lord moved over the darkness, over the deepness, and imparted life. And He did the same thing to me one day. When I was dead in my trespasses and sins, the Bible tells me in Ephesians 2:1, and you hath He quickened who were dead in trespasses and in sin. And that's what the Spirit of the Lord did. It showed me life. The Bible said over in the book of Matthew, chapter 16, when the Lord spoke to His disciples, He said, "Who do men say that I am?" They said, "Some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elias. Some say you're Jeremiah or one of the other prophets." He said, "Whom do ye say that I, the Son of Man, am?" Peter said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." He said, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. My flesh and blood did not reveal unto me that I needed the Lord Jesus. There was a time in my life I did not see the need to pray, and neither did you. But one day, hallelujah, the Spirit of God moved over my life and showed me I needed to be saved. You might have come at one time and just made a profession, but you didn't have a possession. You might have come at one time just because that was the thing to do. You might have just followed somebody to the altar one time, and because that was just the thing to do. But aren't you glad one day or one night or one hour that the Holy Spirit of God showed you Jesus? Preacher Darren, my mama had read stories to me about Jesus. I'd follow Daddy to church and heard him talk about Jesus. I'd heard the preachers preach about Jesus, but it didn't mean a whole lot to me. But one night the Holy Spirit of God moved over my soul and showed me Jesus. And it reiterates to me John 6:44. Jesus said, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him, and I will raise him up at the last day." That is the truth of the salvation of the God of heaven. That is the truth on the Holy Spirit of God. Jesus said in John 16, around verse 7 and 8, He told His disciples, "It is expedient for you that I go away, for if I go not away, the Comforter will not come. And when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment to come." I sure am glad God's still doing that tonight. I sure am glad God is still showing people who they are. He didn't show me what I'd done. He showed me who I was. He showed me what I was living in. And He showed me where I was headed to. He showed me that because of the sin of Adam, many were made sinners. He showed me Romans 6:23, "For the wages of sin is death." But hallelujah, He showed me the rest of that verse. "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." He showed me Calvary
unlike I'd ever seen it before. He showed me Hebrews 2:9, that by the grace of God, Jesus Christ should taste death for every man. He showed me how that was eternal death. He showed me sin in my life. And thank God, hallelujah, I gave my life to Him in that moment. That's the truth of salvation. That's the truth of the Holy Spirit of God. It must be moving on your life. Oh, I'd beckon you tonight. I'd plead with you tonight that if the Spirit of God moves over you tonight in conviction, that you give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. I heard a man give a testimony one time in a message, and he said that he'd went in the early 80s to hear B.R. Lakin preach. And he said, B.R. Lakin said in the early 80s that 80% of the people saved in his meetings were church members. People that thought that they were saved. People that carried that and said, well, I went at such and such time, but I'll tell you where my confidence in my salvation is tonight. It's certainly not in me, Preacher Darren, but I go back to that moment that God moved over my soul with the Holy Spirit of God. And if you can go back to that, you might not remember who was preaching. That doesn't matter. You might not remember the song they played that night, Matthew. That doesn't matter. You might not remember the month or the year or even the day of the week. And for some people, that bothers you sore. That's not where it's at. Oh, do you remember that time? He moved over you and showed you were without Him. Showed you you was lost. Say, I've heard Shane Gunner give his testimony so many times, and he wouldn't be offended me using him tonight. But I've heard him say many times, Alan, I thought I was. But that night he told me in Bethel Baptist Church, God showed me who I was. And He showed me who He was. And He showed me that He could save me by His marvelous grace. Aren't you glad to be saved tonight? Hallelujah. 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 He said that when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. That's what the Holy Spirit does. People are sinners tonight because they won't believe on Jesus. People are lost tonight because they won't accept Him. They won't accept Him as personal Savior. Jesus, speaking of the Holy Spirit, said in John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth. For He shall not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak, and He will show you things to come. Friend, when you are saved, you are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. In the book of Matthew, chapter 13, verses 45 and 46, Jesus likens us unto a pearl. If you study the consummation of the pearl, you'll study how that the pearl comes from the bottom of the ocean floor. It might be a parasite. It might be a grain of sand. But that oyster takes that grain of sand, that foreign substance in, and it begins to take of itself and wrap around that grain of sand. And that grain of sand becomes a pearl. Preacher Darren, once a pearl, always a pearl. Hey, it might lose its shine, but it'll never become a grain of sand again. It'll always be a pearl. When I read Luke 15, I read about the prodigal son. Never in that parable do you ever hear that man call that son any other thing than son. Yes, he walked away. Yes, he spent his father's substance with riotous living. And yes, he ended up in a hog pen, even desiring the husk that the hogs did eat. But do you know what you're looking at when you look at that parable? You're looking at a parable of ineffective Christians. You are looking at a story of people that are saved by the marvelous grace of God, but are ineffective for the cause of Christ. You can't be effective Christian sitting in a hog pen. You can't be effective Christian doing the things that you ought not to be doing. I'm telling you, you say, preacher, but I'm saved. I'm thankful for that tonight. But one of these days we're going to stand. Romans 14:10 says, and 2 Corinthians 5:10 says, that we must all appear, speaking of the people of God, before the judgment seat of Christ, to give an account of those things in our body that we have done, whether they be good or whether they be evil. Christian, I say, get out of the hog pen. Get back to Daddy's house. He loves you just as much as He ever did, because once a son, you're always a son. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was a foreign substance, alien from the commonwealth of Israel, that wild olive branch. But tonight I'm an heir and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Tonight I've been grafted in, hallelujah. And tonight I bow on this altar and I call Him Abba Father. Hallelujah. I can even teach my baby boys back there to say, boys, when we address Him, we'll say, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. I like Acts chapter 10 and chapter 11 when old Peter went down to Cornelius' house and he came back and they said, Peter, what are you doing? Why are you going to different people other than the Jews to tell them about the Lord Jesus Christ? He said, I believe that God is no respect of persons. I sure do like Romans 10:9, don't you? That whosoever shall call upon, or Romans 10:13, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm one of them tonight. Hallelujah, I'm one of them whosoever's. Whosoever will, let him come and take of the water of life freely. I'm talking about the truth of salvation. Once we are saved, our spirit is sealed unto the day of redemption. In the book of Ephesians, chapter number 4, verses 28 through 30, it says, Ephesians 4:28-30, it says, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the things which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, talking to you, Christian, that it may minister grace unto the hearers, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. Our spirit being sealed, we then go to 1 John 3:9. 1 John 3:9 tells us that the seed of Christ is now within us. It's the Holy Spirit of God. And it tells us that because that seed is in us, that our spirit cannot sin. I'm still talking to the Christian tonight. It says in 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God doth not commit sin, for his seed remaineth in him. And he cannot sin because he is born of God. That's talking about your soul and spirit. Oh, but Paul the Apostle warned us as Christians in Romans chapter number 7. I believe it was around verse 18. He says, I know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. He even said in one place in that scripture, oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from this body of death? He says in that same scripture, I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present. He says in that same scripture in Romans 7, that I would do, I do not. And that I would not do, that I do. That's what he tells us. But then we go to 1 John chapter number 1. And he tells us that if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his truth is not in us. But he tells us that the blood of Jesus Christ cleanseth us from all sin, showing us a process of sanctification. Yes, I'm saved, I'm forgiven, but my flesh is still, I still have to contend with that flesh. My flesh is still prone to sin, so I have to bring it under subjection. I have to mortify the deeds of the body, that I can enjoy the fullness of the salvation of the Lord. I'm glad that His blood is still cleansing me of this wretched man that I live in, that will go back to the dust of the earth. I'm glad there's help for this man tonight, and that's why we're here tonight, Christian. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 12, verse number 1, to lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and run the race with patience that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You might not be enjoying the fullness of the salvation of the Lord tonight, Christian. It might be because of those weaknesses. Oh, but God wants to work with you in this process of sanctification and make you into the individual that He knows you can be for the glory of God. I'm talking about the truth of salvation. I've heard many men tell me about their ideas and opinions about the Holy Spirit and their ideas and opinions about salvation. But Preacher Darren, I found those things didn't help me. But when I went to the Scriptures, it showed me what thus saith the Lord. And I'm telling you that tonight, it is God's will for all men to be saved. But all men won't be saved. There is a narrow way tonight that leadeth to life everlasting. I'm glad I know about it because that's the road I'm on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, I'm glad I'm going that way. And Jesus, the Savior I adore, is with me each day. But there is a broad way that leadeth to destruction, and there's many going in thereat. Hell is enlarging its borders tonight. Hell has opened her mouth without measure. Somebody went to hell today. Did you know that? Somebody died today and went to that awful place called hell. There are those people out there that God is dealing with tonight. It is not His will that any man should perish, but that all should come to repentance. It is for you and I to try to win all men to the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You and I don't know tonight who is saved or who is lost, but the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And by you being connected to the vine and being a branch on God's big vine, Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit." Why, preacher? To win as many people as you can. To win your family to the Lord, to win your friends to the Lord, but also to win those strangers that you don't even know, to tell them about the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I truly believe we're living in the last moments of time. I've never felt such a drawing. I've preached more on the coming of the Lord in the past 3 months than I ever have in my 11-year ministry. Oh, the coming of the Lord is near. And that you're going to do, Christian, you need to do it right now. That person you're going to win to the Lord, you need to win them right now. Is God's grace sufficient in 2012? He said, "My grace is sufficient for every need." Can He make the vilest sinner clean? I'm telling you, He can tonight. And He will, and that's what He wants to do. But there are those tonight that Jude speaks of, that the blackness of darkness, they are reserved to that forever. They are apostates. They are those that the Holy Spirit of God has moved or brooded over their life and has showed them their lost condition. But they have resisted that. They have rejected that. Oh, I think of that scripture where the psalmist said, "What is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him?" I'll never forget that night that the Lord visited me for the very first time. And He spoke my name. I believe if we could talk with Lazarus of Bethany tonight, he would tell us about that visit that Jesus made to Bethany there in John chapter number 11, when He came to the tomb of Lazarus and spake and said, "Lazarus, come forth." I'll never forget that moment. I'll never forget that hour when He came and He moved and He brooded over my soul. Oh, and He showed me sin. He showed me righteousness. And He showed me judgment to come. It made me afraid, brother. It really did. Just a 6-year-old boy, but I knew I was wrong, but I knew Jesus was right. Mom was sitting beside of me. Mom couldn't answer the questions that I had, but I'm glad somebody could. I'm glad the Holy Spirit knew what I needed. He knew how to impart Him to me. He knew how to show Him to me. And when He did, I'm so glad I accepted Him. I'm telling you, there's people tonight that God has moved over. He has brooded over, and they've rejected, they've resisted. And let's just be honest tonight. Many of you might be sitting here and saying, "Preacher, I didn't come the first time He moved on me. The first time He brooded on my soul, I resisted. I rejected. I pushed it away. But preacher, tonight, I'm a trophy of grace. I'm a trophy of mercy, for He came the second time." Aren't you thankful for a God of second chances? Oh, I'm glad that the Bible says that the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time. Aren't you glad the word of the Lord came unto you the second time, and it brooded over you? But there's people tonight that the Lord has spoken to again, and they've resisted it again. They've resisted again, and tonight God is not moving on their soul. And tonight we look at the world, and we look at certain actions of the world, and we say, "How could they live like that? How could they act like that? How could they talk like that? How could they live their day like that and lay down and it not bother them a bit?" I'm telling you, there are those men walking out there. I call them dead men walking already. There are those men dead already. There is as good for hell as if they were already there. Do you and I know who that is? Absolutely not. So because of that, we should try to win all that we can. Oh, take the message of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and go into the highways and hedges and beckon them to come in, that the house of the Lord may be filled. The Bible tells us in Romans chapter 10, How can they believe in whom they've not heard? It was the eunuch that said, does this man speak of himself or of some other man? And in the burning hot desert, the Bible says Philip began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And he said in Acts 8:37, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. But there are those people tonight that they are now ridiculing the truth. Did you know that the word seared is only mentioned one time in your Bible? The word seared is only mentioned one time. It's mentioned in 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse number 1. And it says this, now the Spirit speaketh expressly, that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. That is the only time seared occurs in your Bible. And in the Greek, it means to render unsensitive. And tonight, their actions, their sins do not bother them. I scratch my head. I look at the shape of the world. I look at the things that are going on. And I say, oh, I fear for them. And I do not know who they are, but my heart aches for the world that we live in tonight. In Romans chapter number 1, verses 18 through 32, and I won't read all those, but you can go home and read those tonight. And those speak of reprobates, which are castaways, which are those that have been rejected. In Romans 1, 28, it says this, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiter, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedience to parents, without understanding, covet breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful. Now listen to this. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now when I read that part, who knowing the judgment of God, I thought back, Preacher Darren, to John chapter 16, verse number 8. When it spoke of the Holy Spirit, the Comforter, if you will, Jesus said in that verse, when He has come, He will reprove the world of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. The Holy Spirit has moved on these people at one time or other in their life. They've rejected it. And I believe because of the mercy of God that God has dealt with them numerous times, they've rejected that. And tonight they ridicule it. And Jude tells us that they have been reserved to the blackness of darkness forever. You say, Preacher, is there an example in the Scripture that you could give to me of this? Do you remember Herod? Do you remember Luke chapter 23 when Jesus was brought before Pilate? And Pilate found out that he was a Galilean and he spoke of that being Herod's jurisdiction. So he sent him to Herod. In Luke chapter 23, Herod was excited to see Jesus. He wanted Jesus to do some miracle. He spoke to him. He made fun of him. He mocked him, and those with him mocked him. And you know what Jesus did? He didn't even speak to him. He said nothing to that man. He said nothing to him. You can go later in the book of Acts. I believe it's around chapter number 12. In the night that Peter was delivered from the prison that Herod had put him in and put 16 soldiers to guard him, Peter was delivered. In the end of that chapter, the Bible said that Herod arrayed himself in gorgeous apparel, stepped before the people and spoke, and they said, it is the voice of a God. And he gave not God glory. And the Bible said the angel of the Lord smote him dead, and the worms devoured his body. I believe when he saw Jesus in Luke 23, that he was already reserved unto the blackness of darkness forever. One day the wicked will stand after the millennial kingdom. They'll stand at the great white throne judgment in Revelation chapter 20. And those people's names are not written in the Lamb's book of life. Death, hell, the devil, the demons of hell, the false prophet,
all of those will be cast into the lake of fire, which is the second death. Young, middle-aged, or old, if God deals with you tonight or during this week, a lot of people say, preacher, a salvation message is so simple. I heard of a preacher, I believe it was George Whitfield. It might have been somebody else. One of those preachers preached the message of salvation over 2,000 times. He preached the message, you must be born again. Yeah. One day a lady came to him and said, preacher, why do you preach so much? You must be born again. He said, because you must be born again. Amen. It is the most important message. Aren't you glad you heard it?
Amen.
Aren't you glad that you heard it more than just through the mouth of a preacher? But aren't you glad that the Holy Spirit of God, that is the confidence in my salvation. That is why I can say along with Paul, I am persuaded He is able to keep that which I've committed unto Him against that day. I'm not thinking tonight, am I going to heaven? I have a hope, which is an absolute certainty. I'm looking for the blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Did you ever think, Mitchell County, Avery County, that you would see a day in our little communities that people would stand and hold signs like they did this past week to rebel against the words of the Almighty God of heaven? We are in perilous times. We are in those times, but I got good news. 1 Thessalonians 1:10, before it gets bad, the Bible said He would deliver us from the wrath to come. I'm glad tonight I have a reservation into an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for me. The message of salvation, it's most important. You must be born again. While He moves on your soul, if He does this week, let me tell this story and I'll sit down. I remember when I first started preaching about 10 years ago. I went to a church with an evangelist. And while we were there that week, that evangelist, he got an email from a boy in that church, a young man. He was probably 16, 17 years old. I mean, he looked the part, this young man did. I'd seen the young man at the church. He sang in the choir. I mean, he wore a tie every Sunday. He looked the part. His daddy was a deacon at the church. He always was there. He attended every service. He emailed that evangelist and he said, preacher, I'm not saved. He said, but I'm afraid to come forward because he said, all my family thinks that I'm saved. But he said, I know that I have never yielded in that moment that the Holy Spirit has moved on my soul. And he said, God's dealing with me. And he said, I'm so afraid about whatever anybody else might say. Oh, but he said, preacher, I know I'm lost. I know I'm lost. I know I need to be saved. Preacher, my confidence has been in other things. It's been because Daddy's a good fella. It's been because we always attend church. It's been because my name is on that membership roll. But he said, preacher, I know I'm not saved because God is showing me. Oh, me and that evangelist, we prayed for that man that week, that young boy. That boy never came forward. It troubled me, Brother Adam, because I thought, oh God, don't stop speaking to him. Because you realize that without conviction, there is no conversion. You realize that in the book of Exodus chapter 16, I believe it was verse 14, that before the manna could be seen, the dew had to reveal it. The dew being a picture of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit must reveal Christ to you. Flesh and blood does not. You might say, I want to come because of Preacher Darren. He's a great man, absolutely. But if you come for that reason, you're gonna get up from the altar just as lost as when you came. You might say, Mama really wants me to. My oldest boy, he's getting close. Preacher Darren, we've been talking about it a whole lot. I mean, during Easter, we talked about the Passover in Egypt. We came on in the New Testament talk. Oh, and he got so worried. He got so troubled. Every night before he go to bed, he had so many questions. Oh, but I tell you, I've never told him when to go to the altar. He's asked me so many times, Daddy, how will I know? How will I know when it's that moment? And oh, I'm very fearful in the day and time which we live because I've told him so much. Bubba, whenever the Lord comes, whenever He speaks to your heart, He says, Daddy, how will I know? I said, just trust me, you'll know. Just trust me when it happens, you'll know. It's unlike anything that you've ever felt. It's unlike anything that you could ever put into words. When He comes, you'll know. I've encouraged Him in that and I'm praying for Him. I can't make that decision for Him. Young person, another individual can't make that decision for you. It's the Holy Spirit of God. In that moment, you must must make the most of that moment. You must make the most of that time. That young man went through that revival and never came forward. Never came forward. Every night I didn't want to stare, but I couldn't help but look. I couldn't help during the altar call just to pick my head up and turn around to see, is that boy going to come? And that meeting went through and he never came. And I said, oh God, please speak again. Oh God, please send the Holy Spirit again. I've got good news tonight. Later on we got news that he gave his heart and life to the Lord. That he pushed aside what would Daddy think. That he pushed aside what would Mama think. That he pushed aside what would the church say. And he came forward and said, I must be saved. I must give my heart and life to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, that's my confidence tonight. And it's because of that Holy Spirit that revealed that unto me, that tonight I do not doubt whether I'm saved or not, because the Holy Spirit has given me that assurance.